this started from Song of Solomon, Song of Songs, chapter 4, verse 12 to chapter 5, verse 1. A garment closed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Your plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, flavor hyena, and with spikenard and saffron, calamus and stilling, with all the trees of frankincense, myrrh, and aloes, with all the chief spices, a fountain of garlic, a well of living waters, and springs from Lebanon. Awake, O north wind, and come, O south, blow upon my garments that the spices may flow out, that my beloved come to his garden and eat of his pleasant fruits. I have come to my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friend, drink, yes, drink deeply, O beloved.
One thing I do have to mention, we do have microphones. The three young gentlemen in the front have microphones. The session is being recorded. So once you start speaking, if you could just give them a second to bring the microphone to you so we can capture all the thoughts from today.
We trust that our exercise today would lead through to the that which draws out our affections to the Lord Jesus. The narrative in chapter 4 brings to light what is delightful to the beloved, what he loves to see in the spouse. A garden enclosed, my sister, my spouse. There are three things mentioned there. Not only the enclosed garden, a spring that is shut up, a fountain sealed. And these seem to all be deliberate actions that are taken. Deliberate actions, I say. We may be able to identify with a garden that is enclosed. Someone purchased a piece of property and you may want to build a fence around it, enclose it. And what does that do? It keeps out those who shouldn't come in. And it also keeps in what you don't want to give out. Deliberate actions. This is what the spouse, the beloved, envisions in his spouse. That she's going to be enclosed. An atmosphere where there is that which is created for the delight of her beloved. We also see in the narrative that there is fruitfulness. It talks about thy shoots are a paradise of pomegranates, etc. And a number of fruits are mentioned, and it culminates with the frankincense, the myrrh, and the aloe. The spouse is reserved for her beloved. And I can't help but thinking, I reminded myself quite recently of Rebecca as she journeyed with Eliezer on her way to meet her beloved, that she sees this gentleman in the field walking towards them. And she inquires, Who is that man? And Eliezer says, my master. What does she do? She lights off with the camel, and it says she takes her veil and she covers herself. What she's basically saying, I am reserved for him. And how the Lord Jesus delights to have his people, his children, his church, have the same type of affections towards him. Reserved. It simply means no one else is going to come between me and my beloved. I am reserved for him. And that was the position that Rebecca took. We contemplate the discussions that she had underway, where Eliezer is able to bring into all of the good concerning his master, creating an atmosphere where she herself now is totally convinced that he is for me, that she is for him. He delights to have fruitfulness in his beloved, in his spouse. And it brings us all the way down. I'm sure we'll get into much more detail, but we come down to an area where I think is of great importance to us as well. You have the spouse desiring that the north wind and the south wind, that they might converge under garden, so that there might be an aroma that permeates the garden, making it available, making it fit to produce all that is delightful to the beloved. You have the thought of the frankincense, the myrrh, and the aloes, which I think all speak concerning the death of the Lord Jesus. What precious thoughts we entertain as well concerning the Lord Jesus in his going into death. Christ having loved the assembly and given himself for her so that he can be totally exclusive to himself. As a result of the north wind and the south wind coming together and blowing on the garden, creating that aroma, the atmosphere is now set for the beloved to come into his garden and to partake the fruit of the garden. I trust that as we become exposed to these things today, that our affections might indeed be drawn out to the Lord Jesus.
Just to further enhance the thoughts that are being set, I think we have to remind ourselves of the book of the Song of Songs as to its import. It's a book with a tremendous amount of symbolism, very tender and precious thoughts are reflected in it. You remember that in the beginning, she says, draw me, we will run after thee. And I thought of us understanding the contextual setting of the book as setting before us somewhat of the relationship, first of all, that Jehovah had with his people, Israel. He sought their affections. That's a sort of a dispensational thought, and ultimately in the coming millennial day there will be the relationship between Christ and the remnant, and all the affections will flow in that day as well. But presently there is a redemptive element connected with this book, that is the relationship between Christ and the assembly, the Christ and his church. Also, there is the idea of a glorified wedded condition here as well. A spouse, a husband and wife can be seen in this setting. But I think predominantly what we have before us is that we want to set out Christ and the assembly in this wonderful book. It's a tender book. It's a book that has a lot of delightful expressions. And I trust that we will get into those delightful expressions and that they will draw out something from our hearts. In the beginning of chapter 4, he's seen speaking to her, that is, the bridegroom is speaking to her as my fair one, my love, thou art fair. And he expresses these thoughts of affection towards her. And then he comes down to our setting where he changes the symbolism to a garden. And he says, thou art a garden enclosed. I want and I trust, beloved, that as we develop these thoughts today, that we would appreciate the tenderness that's associated with how the beloved sees his spouse, his love, and that from seeing how he expresses himself to her, and then how she responds in chapter 5, and then at the end of chapter 5, the culmination of what is going to take place. I trust that as we see these things, we're going to be impressed. So, brethren, I'm suggesting that in the symbolism that comes out here, that there might be a response with us in developing these things. The Lord help us to inquire, as opposed to necessarily lecturing. I encourage us to seek the help from one another by the Spirit of God, that we might be able to get the truth that's before us, and that the Spirit of God will help us in building line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. Might we then look at the, as Brother Sam introduced to us, the garden. You remember in the book of Genesis, there was a garden. There's a garden that Jehovah built. He designed it, set it up, filled it out with fruit, so that there might be a delight and enjoyment by Adam and Eve in the garden. And you remember what happened. The whole fair creation became spoiled because of the serpent's intrusiveness and Eve's response and Adam ultimately. Now we have before us a garden. And up front, let's say this garden is the assembly. Delightful to the heart of Christ, that there might be found in that garden everything that is suitable to his desire. May we develop these things, beloved, as we push along and then end up in chapter 5, verse 1, before we go for lunch.
There's one more introductory remark about the book of Song of Solomon. And sometimes it's very difficult in the King James Version to follow it along, but there are at least three voices expressed in the book. It's a dialogue. It's a communication between the beloved and the bridegroom, those, and a relationship between them. But there is also an audience around that is observing this relationship. And so, just as an introduction to understanding the book of Song of Solomon, it's really a dialogue. It's a communication. It's a poetic expression between two individuals with a third voice coming in to give some more understanding of the setting of what's going on. The approach that the brethren desires to take is to apply these expressions and these encounters, these interactions between the beloved and the bride and the bridegroom in the Book of Song of Solomon as application to Christ in the assembly. And so that's very important. So just to start us off, it's interesting. A garden enclosed, and I was thinking of the next two expressions, my sister, my spouse. Sister implies from the same origin. And Hebrews tells us that they that are sanctified and he that sanctified are all of one. There is this real connection between the church and the Lord Jesus Christ that is not merely what he has done for us, but we are made of the same substance. And that's a wonderful thought to realize the privilege and the place that we have in Christ.
If I just may add also that it is interesting to realize that Solomon have written many songs, many poems. Scripture declares to us in 1 Kings chapter 4, he wrote 1,005. But this one, the Spirit of God who inspired it, chose it out of all of them to record it to us. Solomon have written to the intellect. He have written to the common sense in his writing. But this one is written to the heart. The matter of affection, it's a poem. It's going back and forth in singing. But just to add to what Mark have said in regard to my sister and my the bride. Sister speak of filial love, the love of brotherhood. The bride speaks of agape love. Because in the Song of Solomon, the love that is flowing from his heart, in spite sometimes of her defect or her affection is not responding, we'll get to that later on, there is all flowing of that love from him. And how little do we know of the heart of Christ? How little do we know? He desire to draw our affection. I think in that chapter there is something that is really important for us in verse 6 when he speaks about until the day break and the shadow goes away, I will go into the mountain or the hell of myrrh and the hell of frankincense. This is the abiding place. In that place of myrrh and frankincense, it permeates the whole book, really, this whole idea. What would raise our affection more than going there until the day break? We are still in the night and the shadow goes away. Where is our occupation? Where is our dwelling place? It's that in the hell of myrrh and the hell of frankincense.
And you'd notice that he says to her, come with me. That he would want us to go to the hill of frankincense, the mountain of myrrh, with him and experience just what he is experiencing.
Also, one of the mentions, as the brethren nicely made it very clear, the history of the book, and the thought that this is the song that the Spirit of God have delighted to make it part of the inspiration to be known to us. And that's rightfully so, because in the originals, that book could be called the song, the only song, as if the unique one, the song, or it could be called the Song of Songs. And you would say to yourself why the Spirit of God will choose such a title, if you will, for such a book. Well, because the application is rightfully so, to bring Christ into it. Because if there are kings, he is the King of Kings. And if there are lords, he is the Lord of Lords. And if there are songs, his song is the Song of Songs. The second part of it, I would like you to look at it, is that Solomon, by inspiration, have written three books. He has written the book of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and this book. And if I want to compare it to the tabernacle that Moses had built, I would love to think of this book before us is the holiest of all. because the king has brought me into his own chamber. That's how the book almost opens up. So why is it so important that the garden enclosed? I'm glad, Brother David, you brought us to the Garden of Eden. But if I can approach it this way, as a creator, he planted a garden for man. As a redeemer, he planted us to be a garden for him. Now I want you to look at it from that perspective. Because this, if I can use these three terms, it is exclusively for Christ, but it's also separated from everything that is foreign to Christ. And that's how you have to look into this expressions that are found before us in verse 12. Why is it the Song of Songs that came after the writings of Moses tells us how important that you and I collectively, we have this exclusivity for Christ? I'm not talking about exclusive receptions and we get entangled into these things, but that we are Christ and we need to be separated, because Moses wrote about every open vessel in the presence of death, that every open vessel shall be defiled. And dear brethren, when we have conditions that are enclosed, shut up, it's the same word, by the way, enclosed and shut up, the spring, the same identical word. When we have these conditions, then we would remain away from defilement and we will enjoy more and more of Christ, and our affections will be stirred up toward him.
I was just thinking
that a garden is a place where you find many flowers. And a true garden has flowers, and in those flowers, there is much aroma. It's very aromatic. And are we being that aroma? And in order to be and to have a successful garden, that garden must be watered. Are we being watered with the living waters from above? Are we aromatic? Are we providing that sweet smell? A garden truly needs water. Thank you.
Spouse and sister are very important. Almost every time, not every time, but almost every time, they are called my spouse and also my sister. They're always connected together. And the Spirit of God is highlighting, as you have mentioned, Brother Mark, the source. And we have heard about the contrast of love. But think about it this way as well. That if God is going to provide a wife for a man, it has to come from the same source. If Eve was provided for Adam, it has to come from his own rib, the source. If Abraham wanted a bride for his son, he says, listen, you go back, but don't go to anybody's. You go to my kindred, but not anybody in my kindred. You go to my own family. What? We have to have the same source. We have to have somehow the same origin. And it's only the grace of God, only the grace of God, that we can be called those that have the same origin, heaven, as far as you and I in the day of grace, that we will fit to be espoused to this blessed one.
She's not only a garden enclosed, but she is also a spring shut up. This enclosure, this shutting up is necessary so that there is a clear understanding that he does not allow access to this that is exclusively his. The enemy does not have any inroads here. The assembly is eternal in character. It's eternal in destiny.
and its character of a garden and a spring shut up makes it exclusively for himself. He says it's also sealed, which gives the impression that no one has the ability to break that seal. And he wants to keep the assembly in such a state. Now, the answer to that is, how do we see these things? Are we in the appreciation of the exclusivity of you, that you've been talking about, John? The exclusivity that's there. How do we appreciate this? This is what will give us a lift as we think of what he, Christ, the bridegroom, has in view for us as his assembly.
So if you say that the idea of being enclosed and the idea of being sealed is really important, because why it's repeating the same thing? Doesn't it convey the same thought?